What wonderful lessons we have this morning. And the only thing missing from our lesson on Joshua is Cecil B. DeMille. And there's a lot of people here who may never know that Cecil B. DeMille, our great Hollywood director, was known for his huge movies, casts of thousands and trumpets and horns and everything else. Joshua gathering the elders at Shechem, the great cult site, says to his people, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Boy, is that a great movie or what? And the St. Francis players take note. The 25th chapter of Matthew closes out what I call our summer gospels. Our year ends. In 2 weeks, next week, we have the parable of the talents. And 2 weeks from today is Christ the King Day, the parable of the nations. And today we have the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. Now, the whole point behind this story sometimes gets a little lost in the the tradition that was taking place at the time of our Lord is not familiar to us. But when there was a wedding, there was always going to be a parade from the bride's house to the bridegroom's house where she was going to take up residence. You would always go and live with your mother and father-in-law and the groom's house. And sometimes those preparations for the wedding were lengthy, and sometimes they didn't get done by 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But yet these women chosen to be friends of the bride had an honored position. And they would hold the torches and the lights and be part of a fancy parade that would go to the new residence of the bride. And as we hear in this morning's gospel, some were really ready to do that job well, and others forgot a few things. And so that's the whole point of Jesus' teaching. And don't forget, he starts us out with "the kingdom of heaven is like." And I think, as we've said in the past, whenever you hear that, turn on your radar, because Jesus is going to teach us something about ourselves and our lives. Now, it's obvious the ones that didn't bring oil clearly showed up, but weren't really ready to play. And I love the line that it's now midnight and they're going to go and find the oil dealers. Ever tried that? Even today, you're not going to find anybody. And of course, who knows? It might have been till dawn before they showed up with oil, before they found any. And then the second part of this, I think there's two things that we take away from this gospel today. And two reminders. First of all, showing up ain't enough. And you've heard that your whole life, that you can be all ready to go to your first day of school, you can go to your new job, you can do all kinds of things in life, but not really bring about the equipment and the mindset to begin this enterprise. And, were we just a philosophical society here, showing up would be enough. But we don't harbor a philosophy. Jesus is not a philosopher. He's not Aristotle. He's not Plato. He's not John Stuart Mill. He's Jesus. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. And as such, wants our mind to be set in such a way as to be ready to play the game. We don't show up for a baseball game without our mitt and our spikes and our bat. That's just how it happens. And Jesus is reminding us that showing up ain't enough, and that we have to put ourselves and our souls into this calling to serve Him. The second part of this teaching of today reminded me so much of a campfire that I sat around with some of my 13-year-old friends. And we were discussing what it must like to be a spy. Maybe some of you are real spies, but we're 13-year-old kids. We're fantasizing on what it must be like. And I remember my friend Al Jones saying, "Boy, that must be living." And we were wondering what it might be like. This is back in the Cold War days, to wander down the streets of Prague or some other exotic city, and fantasizing that people were watching us every time we crossed the street, and that somebody might jump out of a doorway any minute, and that we had to be totally aware of everything in our surroundings. Otherwise, we'll miss something, we'll get captured, and we'll be done away with. Ah, the great fantasies of teenage. But this is very much a part of this gospel today, where these people, Jesus is telling us that to be alive to everything around us in a way in which it's almost like the end of our life. We catch that theme in our epistle this morning to the Thessalonians, where we're going to live our lives as if Jesus is coming any minute. There's an urgency there. And there is a commitment on the part of the hearer to try to see that from the time we get up to the time that we go to bed, we can be lively. This is the time when winter and cold weather is approaching Chicago, Illinois. And this is a time when you go to the train station in the morning and you see everybody all huddled up and they got their cup of coffee and their Chicago Tribune and they're going to get on the train. They don't talk to anybody. They sit down and they make this ride downtown and on complete cruise control. They're not looking out the window. They're not paying attention to their neighbors. They're not thinking about much of anything. And, it's the humdrum of life. We have all been there. And we all catch ourselves as we kind of go through our life by rote, sometimes day to day. And Jesus in His Gospels all summer long has been encouraging in us and inviting us to open our eyes and to become alike spies and be God's spies, to be alive, to be noticing who needs what is happening around us, what is happening in our family, what is happening in all the relationships that we have at the office, what is happening to ourselves in terms of our health and our awareness. And Jesus wants us from our very fingertips to understand that life is really rich and that we as Christians have a terrific gift that's been given to us through our faith. And it's a gift that came from the day those ancestors decided to choose this day whom you will serve. And that choice turns us on to life in ways that no philosophy ever can. So we are encouraged and we're enlightened and we are set to complete our church year on this wonderful beginning of chapter 25, which leads us to understand that our life is being lived as if it's the last day. Think about it. And not only that, try and do it. That's the invitation. That's the encouragement. And the reward is we get to go to the party. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the invitation to the wedding banquet. May we always be ready to love and serve you and be part of the honor guard as the faithful people find you in that great heavenly banquet. May we look for all kinds of ways to love and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.